You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasudhi. He is a civil engineer turned musician and is one of the founders of the Charivari Agreeable, which has been recognized as one of the classiest Baroque ensembles around. He has even played at Buckingham Palace, and the man himself joins me as part of our Oxbridge Reach Out series. Welcome to the show, Datu Dr. Nkamin. How are
Hi.
You today?
I'm well, thank you very much. A bit sweaty, but that's what it is.
Coming, when did you actually leave Malaysia and how long have you been abroad?
Oh, that's going to date me, isn't it? Early 90s, I think. That's where I got my scholarship to Germany, to the Frankfurt State Academy of Music, otherwise known as the Frankfurter Musikhochschule für Darstellende Kunst.
Ooh.
Just to be pedantic.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
Yeah, well, Darstellende Kunst simply means performing arts.
Okay. How old were you when you actually left the country?
This was after my engineering degree and briefly working as a consultant engineer and also briefly working as a music master of the Alice Smith International. Mid-20s, really.
Okay, and you were a civil engineer, qualified civil engineer?
I don't think I bought my degree.
Some people actually abandon halfway
I carried on to the bitter end. I have the scroll for it and I have the pictures to prove
that
I was
huh?
at the graduation, all fully paid for, like any good Chinese, traditional Chinese boy. Yeah,
okay.
It's one of those either engineering, law, or medicine, or, you know, the traditional
It's no different from the Indian community. It's the same thing. But were you always musically inclined, and that was wanted to
even
do?
Even as a child, I was very passionate about music and I also was very curious. So during my engineering days, I think I probably spent more time in the music music department library than in the science and engineering library. But I had other qualities as well. I had an ability to write, so all the long, big projects in the design office, especially my favorite one was the aesthetics of the water tower. I did most of the writing, whereas the rest did all the calculations. I was useless at circular coordinates, so they did all the work, and I did all the... and I think that's an indication, I think, of where my talent actually truly lay. Nowadays, of course, of all my CDs, of late, the last 10 or so have had the CD notes which I've written, even included in the review. I mean, they've been praised in the review, so that there's certain pressure for me to keep up the scholarship in the notes, as well as obviously in the content of the discs. So the writing bit, that also has carried over to obviously the doctoral dissertation, which is about 100,000 words, and the entries in the New Grove Dictionary of Music and Musicians, which is the dictionary for music.
Mm-hmm. Just to go back a little.
After
the engineering degree, you went off to Germany, did you?
Yes, I got a DAAD scholarship thanks to the German Goethe Institute and the German government. DAAD stands for the Deutsche Akademische Austauschdienst, which is a German exchange scholarship. Very prestigious and generous, shall we say, scholarship.
For a Malaysian to have gotten, you know, a scholarship to study in Germany, doesn't that say a lot? It says a lot about you.
Well, thank you very much.
I don't know.
I might have pressed the right buttons. I did sort of make a mark doing. I came back from Australia with a harpsichord, so I did give some recitals and also formed a choir then called the Baroque Choristers. I think it's now died to death through neglect and mea maxima culpa, shall we say. I guess the Baroque Choristers and I sort of made a tiny waves and yeah.
Do you think music is given due recognition in this country? Obviously when you left, it would have been different than when you come back now.
It's completely different. I'm astounded by the number of people who have amazing CVs in music. People who've gone on abroad to study music. I hardly recognize the scene. Local universities are offering music degrees. It's a burgeoning industry here, shall we say. Right. Yeah.
And how long have you spent time abroad? Since the 20s?
It's over a decade and a half, I think. Okay. Yeah.
And you've now decided to come back and, you know, start something different?
No,
you
give talks? I'm just here on holiday.
Okay, but...
I do come back for, 2 to 3 years times a year, and every time I come back, I do try and maintain contact. Giving masterclasses to local choirs. I'm also doing that in Singapore. This time around, I'm back for a couple of lectures at the JB campus of UTM, mm-hmm. Lectures on creativity and innovation in music. And then later on, with another institution, something about entrepreneurship in music, how I basically run an ensemble in Europe and it's being able to survive in the climate over so many years, mm-hmm. in a very competitive world.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Okay, so you come back. Not much of a holiday, I have to say.
Oh, gosh, I think this is a working holiday. I have 5 nights in KL then 2 in JB and 2 in Singapore.
Right.
So and every day is packed with meetings and so on.
What keeps you coming back? 2-3 times a year is quite...
Well, I've got family here and obviously the durians.
You're based obviously in the UK.
I live in Oxford.
In Oxford,
yeah, which
yes.
is a very privileged place to be.
Sure, of course. And tell me that story, because after Germany, you actually went to Oxford University.
I had a pit stop at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London. I was very naughty, actually. I had originally applied for a scholarship via the British Council to go to the UK. And got the Goethe Institute director to be my referee, and he was slightly aghast because he said, "You know, no, you're coming to Germany." Mm-hmm. So he then applied for me, and I got the German scholarship, and then I very naughtily then turned down the Brits. I do apologize now to the British Council and the FCO, I must have done quite well in Germany, because then the musicology professor wrote me this very good reference to get into Oxford. I think it's my earlier sense of prurience about composers. Mm. I was a bit of a geek when it came to music theory. I would look up lives of composers and their particular scandals,
and many of whom were German.
The scandalous ones let's not name names. And I think that has carried on to my interest in the context to the music. You see that sense of prurience and inquisitiveness of the lives, and hence the socio-historical context to the music. And that has helped me then be interested in the marrying of scholarship and performance, which is a very Oxbridge thing.
Right. We'll come back to Oxford in a while, but yeah. Coming from a typically Asian family, you pursued the civil engineering course degree, in fact. Did you have the support when you decided to do music?
I came out in the midst of recession, so that then didn't seem much of... I actually got a job. It wasn't very inspiring. It was designing culverts and drainage and slope protection, and you can imagine my...
Hence the work of a civil engineer.
Not to denigrate any of that, yep. that particular very useful, he says, clawing back and trying not to dig a too deep hole. Mixing my metaphors again. I'm very good at that. it wasn't for me. I think the brain cells were not being exercised enough.
Okay.
So yeah, a job as music master came along, and one thing led to another.
Sure, but your passion laid elsewhere, obviously.
Yes.
It wasn't really in engineering. What do you think causes the lack of support for the pursuit of music as a career here in Malaysia? Do you think it's parental hindrance? Why do you think that seems to be the case?
I don't think there is actually so much lack of support now. I think parents are probably more supportive of the children's ambitions and wanting them to have it. I obviously most families are still quite traditional, I guess, in their outlook. Yep. But the fact that there are so many in shall we say the industry is a good sign. Still, it's a fairly risky business, isn't it? Certainly, art support and arts funding is the first one to be cut.
Sure.
in any sort of downturn.
Sure.
Although, which is a very short-sighted thing, obviously, because the well-being of the people has a correlation with the way they perceive their quality of life, and if arts suffers, then their quality of life suffers, and then of course their perception of the political class, I guess, suffers. This is my uneducated take on political theory, but
you know,
you will edit this out.
No, I'm
hopefully.
Not. But you know, as you mentioned, economic crisis. You know, the arts is always suffering.
Yeah.
But you do a lot of work in Europe.
Yes. Yeah.
So has that affected your work?
Fingers crossed. You know, we're still going strong, and I'm planning and working on my 22nd and 23rd album or CD. The thing is, I guess this is where the entrepreneurship bit comes in, and the economic model, to use a bit of business speak, for my thing is diversification. So what I do is I run an ensemble of flexible configuration. So we are anything from 3 to 30-something or 40, depending on the repertoire, depending on who's writing check, depending on the needs. So sometimes we organize our own concerts, and it could be very small scale chamber concerts, it could be medium scale. Often we're invited to festivals or various concert promoters, like festivals as well as music societies and clubs, ask us to, you know, be part of their season, and they give us a budget or they give us a theme, and we design things according to whatever it is that they require. And a lot of our work also is also with semi-professional choirs and also choral societies. They put on their own concerts, and they often need a band or an orchestra, and will provide that sort of support for them for collaboration. And very increasingly, a lot of work for cathedrals, because obviously in the peak seasons of Advent, Christmas, as well as the Holy Week, Easter, there will be need for that sort of music, you know, Passions, or Easter. So, you know, I've done all the Bach Passions, the Matthew and the John. So many times I can't remember now, at least 30 John Passions, and over half a dozen and a half Matthew Passions, and of course all the other oratorios by Handel and Bach. Yeah, so they need a band to be brought in as well. And yeah, we've done York Minster very often, Salisbury Cathedral, you name the big ones, we've done all of them. This December we're going back for the fourth time to perform for the Queen's Chapel Choir in Windsor Castle, the St. George's Chapel Choir.
Which brings me to, you've performed in Buckingham Palace.
Oh, that too, yes.
Share that experience.
Thank you for dropping that in. That's very nice. It wasn't for Her Match, though, so there's none of that tittle-tattle for you, I'm afraid.
Pomp and splendor.
But there's plenty of that, and a lot of security. We had to be scanned multiple times all over. but the great and good of basically the minor nobles, shall we say, with that. And I got to play on King George III's harpsichord, which had been apparently played by Handel himself.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what did that feel like?
Scary, for two reasons. You were not sure of the touch, and you didn't get many chances to practice on the instrument. And through wear and tear, the ivory, and this is real ivory, had minor indentations through wear. So it was a very very weird feeling to it.
Okay, coming up, we'll find out, you know, why Kaming actually decided to play the harpsichord, as well as he's apparently the first and only Malaysian to have a doctorate in music from Oxford University on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodi. Dato Dr. Ng Ka Meng, he's musical director of the Baroque Ensemble Charivari Agreeable. Am I saying that correct?
Oh, perfect.
Also an Oxbridge alumni. And this is our Oxbridge Reach Out series. We're talking about, you know, his passion for music. You play the harpsichord. Now, the harpsichord looks something like the piano, if you're not too familiar with it. But why the harpsichord?
Well, the predecessor or antecedent of the piano, the harpsichord has a very, very different mechanism to its sound production. The look and the feel of the instrument, but most importantly for me, the sound of the instrument itself, I just find particularly sexy.
Ooh,
yes.
It does, well, actually. It does.
Well, the thing is, the mechanism is such that, unlike the double escapement action of the piano where you hit the key and then many things happen before the hammer strikes the string, the harpsichord, you depress the key and a very direct mechanism enables you to activate the plectrum at the end of a jack, which plucks the string. So you can actually feel the pluck of the instrument. So you're actually in direct contact with the music-making mechanism. And that itself is something else. And of course, there is as much repertoire in the early keyboards as there is after Mozart, Beethoven.
Right.
And I have a particular predilection for the earlier part of music. We call it early music nowadays, but yeah.
You believe you're the first and only Malaysian to have a doctorate in music from Oxford University. That is quite an achievement, but would you like to tell me more?
No, you're making me blush. It's just a doctorate. No, actually, no, it's very difficult to do one of those. Well, I say it's difficult, but I'd already done half of it, having done my master's and my MPhil. So I'm a member of two colleges in Oxford. I did my MPhil at St Anne's, mm-hmm. and my DPhil at Keble. We call it DPhil in Oxford, which is basically a PhD, but just backwards.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We want to be different.
Ooh, yeah,
I know.
The elitist, the snobs.
Yeah. Oh, I thought this program was meant to dispel this.
I'm sure they could say PhD now.
Oh, no, we say DPhil. Thank you very much. Please bear this in mind. This is how you catch out the Oxforders.
You just have to be a little different now, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we are.
You know, why do you think you actually got your foot in the door as far as Oxford University is concerned? I mean, it's not an easy task to get
in. I must have ticked the right boxes. As I said, I had a very good reference from my musicology professor in Germany, who was quite apparently amazed to see that I'd gone far beyond the assignments that were given to me.
Did you have to audition for the whole process?
Yeah, I had to audition. Not to interview, but yeah, the audition was important.
Did you have an interview as well? Because I understand that
yes,
makes up quite
often there is an interview, but I think I went in as a postgrad, so I think the admissions criteria were probably slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Did you have a better time in Oxford as compared to Germany?
Yeah.
Or was it a different experience altogether?
Well, both. I had the best time actually in London, but only because it was for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I might have paid, but Oxford was different in that obviously there's the place and the mystique and all that and the fame of the place.
That you've made it your home now.
Indeed, yes, yeah. Yes. One of those got sucked in and left. I even managed to teach, you know, lecture briefly for the music faculty for a couple of years. Well, culturally, it is, like UK, I think, quite meritocratic. So there is, you don't carry too much baggage or people don't unload theirs on and their perception on you. Best of all is you get thrown in a deep end in Oxford and you have to rely on your wits and your own initiative to organize your own concerts, your own life, basically. Mm-hmm. And I got doing that with great gusto, and I still now have this relationship with the university.
Fantastic. You set up the Charivari Agréable when you were in Oxford.
Yes.
Can you tell me more about the ensemble and what made you set it up?
Well, I think...
What is it?
Charivari Agréable translates from French as agreeable tumult. Mm-hmm. Charivari being a noise.
Okay.
So agreeable tumult.
All right.
Or agreeable tumultuous noise, which I came across while consulting a treatise, a 1707 treatise by Saint-Lambert on the art of accompaniment, which described a way of accompanying which produce an agreeable, an agréable charivari, which is something that produces an agreeable tumult. And I thought, oh, yeah, that sounds catchy enough. Mm-hmm. And so the name stuck. And it has somehow stuck as well in the mind's eye of people in that world.
Right. Do you feel sometimes that you wished more Malaysians would go ahead and pursue music in Oxford?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. The more the better, the more the merrier. Yeah.
What do you think is stopping them? Are they not good enough, or the training is not holistic enough?
I think they might just be being put off by...
misconceptions.
Yeah. Well, maybe they think, you know, the requirements, entrance requirements may be too high. That's the usual.
But wouldn't you say it is a little high?
It is.
It is.
Yeah. But if you don't aim high, you won't soar.
Yep. What would you say is the secret to your success? Hard work?
Loaded question. Hard work, passion for what you do, I think. A dogged determination. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if there is a secret. I just go on and do my own thing, really, without too much planning. As I said, passion. But I keep at it.
Right. And... You know,
and things fall in place. I think I just have been very lucky, that's all, really.
Really?
No, I don't think so. It's really, it's just luck.
It comes with a whole load of... I mean, luck only plays a very small part of the whole process.
But I'm sure it is. It's 9%, 5% graft and 95% luck.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. Now you're, you know, involved. You're not only involved in performing and directing, you're also adjudicating competitions and exams, as well as your lecturing. How do you balance all of it? You're a unique character here.
I reckon?
Mean, yeah, very much. So nothing to do with luck. I mean, 5% luck, I would say.
I think I'm just a busybody. I've just got too many fingers and too many pies.
Isn't curiosity a good thing?
Well, yeah. I think we need to borrow the Singaporean term kiasu in that. I hate seeing an opportunity go by without trying to see if there's anything that might be of interest to me. So I think natural curiosity plays a big role in this, doesn't it? Don't you think?
It does. Have music experts in that side of the world, in Europe, sort of accepted, are able to accept your way of working, your way of thinking? It's very out of the box, actually.
Yeah, we went out of our way to actually carve a niche by being different in the way we perform and program our music. And often the authenticity police, the aficionados of the early music world, we usually get one who is quite cross with us for pushing the limits of the boundaries of performance practice. And with one not so good opinion, usually we get a whole bunch, over a dozen, who say, wow, brilliant, you know, give us 5 stars, 4 stars in our review, top ranking. So we know that we're on a good thing. Obviously, reviews are one thing, but yeah, no, we back it up with proper good scholarship, and I think that's how we carve our niche. I would say almost that we're pretty much of the mainstream. Certainly in Britain, we are now pretty much a known quantity. I know that because for the past 5 years, all music, early music graduates, well, many, send me their CVs in the hope of being auditioned for the back desks. So I guess what's gotten around that And word has gotten around. That's what I've been told, that we are a happy and nice bunch to work with.
Right, fantastic.
And I try and keep it sort of easygoing when, you know, when I work with them. I try not to be too prescriptive, and more collaborative, and try and spark something in them. Rather than tell them exactly how I want it. Obviously, as the director, I try and steer them into an interpretation that all of us can live with, or I can live with.
Right. You know, you earlier on you mentioned you come back 2-3 times a year.
Mm.
And, you know, your schedules are pretty packed. I mean, you're sort of... Do you think it's... You feel deep down inside it's time for you to give back to Malaysians as well as, you know, to be a part of the music culture?
I'd love to,
here?
Yeah, yeah. As I said, the choir workshops, masterclasses, have given private recitals at the residences of the British High Commissioner as well as the German Ambassador. No, I haven't for a while now given public concerts. It's quite funny, but the MPO haven't approached me either. So I think it's, in some perverse way, I think it's quite funny and quite nice to maintain that track record of being studiously ignored by them.
You know, it's just probably a
just
case
to lob a bomb.
It's probably just a case of not knowing, you know, that, you know, you come and go and, you know,
I think
getting your name out there.
Maybe.
What's your advice to those who are, you know, thinking of pursuing music in Oxford or Cambridge, as well as just music as a career?
Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it, and make your own waves and carve your own niche when you get back here. But try and do it not with a piano, though.
Why?
Because there are quite a number around.
Mm-hmm. Try something different.
Mm.
Like the harpsichord.
Possibly. A string instrument, a wind instrument.
That's right. So I'm going to leave everyone with, you know, a piece from you. It's apparently called Canarios. It is, which you have arranged for the Charivari Agriable. And it's an improvised version. Could you tell me more about it?
Oh, yeah. It's based on a series of repeating ostinato, is what we call it, a sequence of harmonies. The Canarios apparently is a dance that came from the Canary Islands, and basically it's a whole lot of pluckers, shall we say. we've got a triple baroque harp, harpsichord, theorbo, which is basically an extended bass lute. We've got a Renaissance guitar, a baroque guitar, and a viola da gamba doing pits. It's one of our best tracks, and it comes from our CD called Esperar, Sentir, Morir.
And this is where you're on the harpsichord.
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Dr. Nka Meng, a musical director of the baroque ensemble Charivari Agriable, and as well as an Oxbridge alumni in our Oxbridge Reach Out series on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.